Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 2, The Theory of Transformation, Parinamabhana, page 24. So continuing with Ramanujacharya's points, was a sevenfold objection. So an E. Prama nanu papatti. By what pramana or means of valid cognition is avidya cognized? Avidya cannot be perceived, for perception can give us either an entity or a non-entity. It cannot be inferred, or for inference proceeds through a valid mark or middle term, which avidya lacks. Right, because it means you have to have something solid to work with. Even when you're dealing with anuman, you're dealing with, like, you're dealing with shabda, and then you're trying to bring it to pratyaksha, right? Or you're starting with pratyaksha, and then you're moving on to whatever it is you think you're going to get to, right? But the point is if avidya doesn't exist, then how can you work with it as a middle term? You know, how can it be something that you work with? How do you work with nothing? Mm-hmm. You know? See, the thing is they're very logical, but what it is they're attached to the taste of logic, not actually to the, the validity of logic. Mm-hmm. You know? In other words, they have their methods by which they are trying to enjoy logic. Mm-hmm. And there's certain terms and certain conditions that they get a taste from. Right? So it should be based on Shastra, you know, it has to have that technical intellectual aspect in connection with analyzing Shastra and things like this. So that then is where their taste is. Like you see in the modern academy, same principle, is they want to taste mental speculation. So anuman. But in doing so, they don't, it starts with the senses. They don't want to come to a conclusion. Right? While the others are starting from Shastra and have made their own conclusion. Right? So that will be a difference that's there. But the basic principle is the taste of sense gratification coming from mental speculation. That'll be common. So for all those who identify as scholars, that will be the case, right? They may be using it very nicely or other things like that. That's fine. But the point is if it's an identity, it's because that's where your taste is coming from. Just like someone who's a karmi, because their taste is coming from karma. If you call a karmi, it's not a problem because he has his taste there. You know, a jnani, there's no problem. Right? But for the devotee, then they use these things, but there's no identity. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. So, yes?
So, can you say that the identity, I'm the logic, I'm the intellect?
Yes, I'm an intellectual, whatever it is. I'm very intelligent, I'm smarter than others, I'm this, I'm that. But it's based on their ability to speculate. You know, so therefore they have amongst themselves a common platform of speculation. And when you go into, means you're exposed to it as an undergraduate. in the modern academy. It's only as a postgraduate they teach you what is the, you know, the proper method. You know, that's the academic method. It means how to speculate according to their etiquette, so that they get their taste, because their taste will be slightly different from the scholars, let's say the Mayavadis. It doesn't mean that you can't combine them, but the point is it's this common field, but they're starting at opposite ends. Right, one starting from Shabda and then coming up with a bogus conclusion. Mm-hmm. The other one starting up Pratyaksha and won't give a conclusion. Because mm-hmm. their idea is speculation stops. So their ability in speculation is much more limited than the Mayavadis, in that or let's say the Shankarites, let's put it that way. That in that they think if there's a conclusion, there's no more speculation, so they avoid it. Right? Because the point, if there's a conclusion, we can't speculate anymore. But with the Shankarites, then they have a conclusion and they speculate to maintain their conclusion. But in any case, it's a particular taste. And that taste is what's important. So if someone comes up with a good paper that gives rise to, you know, fresh intellectual speculation, then it's considered very great. Everybody will talk about it, everybody will glorify it and all that, you know, and then once it becomes old and that, then somebody's going to come along and they're going to have the taste of trying to break it down and showing that it's bogus. But there has to be a taste. You know, something new, okay, it's great. When it gets old, then how it's wrong. You know, but it's all about taste. So here the whole point is that's what you're pointing out, it's though they claim to be logicians and so intelligent and all that, in one sense they are, because they identify it, they use the field. But in another sense, they're not actually, because there's holes in their logic that they won't address. In other words, they're dogmatic. So as long as you don't go to these places, they're fine. But if you go to these places and attack that, then, like if he shows, okay, you do something, there should be a conclusion. And a conclusion should be truth, if you're looking for truth. And truth means it doesn't change, like the laws of nature don't change. So therefore, why in the academy, then they're not looking for that absolute truth. But the academy itself then took its stand a few thousand years ago when they killed Socrates. And so therefore, the modern academy is built on that there should not be an absolute truth. Right? And so someone who believes in it, but, you know, is trying to figure out a politically correct way to say it, they're uncomfortable. And they're tolerated. Right? You know, they may be quoted now and again for something, because, you know, there has to be some basis. But it's only someone who you know, happily embraces materialism. And the analysis to come to that those conclusions, then now here is somebody great. So Aristotle, who's the least of the three, is considered the greatest. And Socrates, who's the greatest, they consider, yeah, he's there, he's his guru, you know, like this. And Plato, you know, has some nice points, but he's not taken so seriously because he's trying to straddle both of them. And he's not doing a great job. You know. But, in any case, all three of them are doing better than whoever was the people, than the Stoics, I mean, all those professionals that killed them. Right? You know, killed Socrates. Because who remembers any of them? But the point is that in here is that the not coming to the absolute truth is an inherent foundational principle of modern speculation. They will take something that makes no sense. It means I saw it once. The possibility who's our the funny guy with the beard and the turtles and in the island and the little birds and the beaks. And he made a whole theory out of that. Darwin. Yeah. He looked at turtles and some birds. One species of birds. And came up with his whole theory. On some out-of-the-way island. So, the possibility of it actually working is something like some trillions to one. But they're willing to accept that. You know, if I told you, okay, here we have something that, you know, it's 50-50, you might get, you might not, and you want to invest your money? Yeah, maybe. What if it's no? It's going to be 60, you're not going to get, 40, you might. Or 10, you know, 90% chance you will not get, but 10% you might get. Or 99 you won't get, but 1% you might get. But here it's trillions to one. And they'll say, we're being logical, we're being scientific. So then, if that is so illogical, why are they doing this? Because a living entity must act for taste. They're ananda, they're bliss. In the material world, there's no bliss, but happiness and distress, that's the maximum you'll get out of that perverted or covered principle of the soul. So they'll get some taste. Like that. And that's for it to work once. And then to be working every moment on unlimited, and it's all consistent. It's by chance. Why is it so consistent? Makes no sense. But they're willing to overlook these immense flaws in their logic to carry on the speculation. You know, it's just like, let's say, a bunch of guys that are drinking. They overlook whether that's good or not, or they're going to be so, you know, how you say, disoriented that they can't even walk or do anything properly and this and that. That they just, because somehow or another, that's, they consider that happiness. So in other words, people will overlook anything for happiness. Right? So that's the thing. They'll overlook something in the material world or this aspect or that aspect. And so what's important in my doctrine to find my happiness, if you don't have it in your doctrine, then it's a problem. But all of them, they're flawed. But that's the thing. The Vaishnavas are willing to overlook anybody's doctrine to please Krishna. So here he's pointing out is that it can't be, you can't take, you'll perceive either something exists or doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, it's not there. So how can you say it doesn't exist and it's a factor to be discussed and analyzed? How do you analyze something that doesn't exist? Right. So, in other words, it's just a matter, it's just practically it doesn't work. And so then that's the problem, but they don't want to discuss that because they've already accepted that as part of their philosophy. In other words, these 7 points that he's given, these are the flaws that they inherently all agree to so they can speculate. Outside of these 7, they can speculate like anything. But as soon as you bring these in, then the whole thing disappears. It cannot be inferred, for inference proceeds through a valid mark or middle term which avidya lacks, nor can it be maintained on the authority of the scriptures, for they declare Maya to be a real wonderful power of creating this wonderful world which belongs to God. So they can't say is that, okay, well Shastra says that Maya is there, yes, and Maya is under the control of the Lord, and it creates things, it's the control of things, so it's something, it's a real entity, it's not, it doesn't exist. Right. F. Ni varta kanu papatti. There is no remover of avidya. The Mayavadi believes that knowledge of the unqualified attributeless Brahman removes avidya. But such knowledge is impossible. Discrimination and determination are absolutely essential to knowledge. Pure identity is a mere abstraction. Identity is always qualified by difference and distinction. Hence, there can be no knowledge of an undifferentiated, attributeless thing, and in the absence of such knowledge, nothing can remove avidya. So if you can't know something that is undifferentiated and has no abstract, how do you know something, right? The mind and the senses and the intelligence and the ego can identify qualities, can identify attributes and work with that. That's what you're analyzing. And they're saying, no, there's this entity that has nothing. And we'll analyze that. How do you analyze nothing? Again, the thing. Right? And so then the knowledge of this then removes avidya. But how would it remove avidya? Right? Because if there is nothing that you can analyze and understand and perceive, how can you deal with it? Is this kind of...
So now, if anyone is looking for test, Dharmagyana or Bhakti,
yes.
So actually, if someone is not connected to Bhakti, he needs to, I think, to produce something we can give test.
Yes, yes.
And speculation produce.
Yes, speculation. Karma and Jnana, yes. That's it. You're going to turn to either of these two or any combination.
Yes, yes.
Means, in other words, Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha, that's where you can get taste.
Yes.
And then whatever you combine, like people, like Prabhupada mentioned, scientists, he puts them in the platform that they're working in the field of Vijnanamoy,
yes.
But their actual consciousness is in Anamoy.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and what they're dealing with is Anamoy. So they're not dealing with the soul, they're using the analytical process of yes. Vijnanamoy to analyze matter and that there's no soul.
But usually they don't want to discuss about consciousness.
No, because they have no idea about it. That's the whole point, is because they're so intelligent and their whole identity is based on that aspect of their intelligence. If you bring up anything outside of that, they have no identity. You know? So therefore, they become insecure. That's why you see they become angry. They always become angry. As soon as you bring up consciousness or something like this, the soul, they immediately become angry. That's the whole point, is because it militates against their identity. And so if they have no identity, how do they function? So they've given themselves a very limited, narrow, identity. You know, it's very unique, and then because of that, they can make themselves, oh, they're so special. And in their own way, yes, they are special. But at the same time, that doesn't mean anybody else is not special. But that's the difficulty, is that without the Varnashram system, where you see is each thing is part of the, Daiva Varnashram, then you only think you're special, or your group is special. But only in Daiva Varnashram, it's all part of the Lord, so therefore it's all connected to the Lord. It means when you worship the Lord's feet, so therefore then Shudras and Brahmacharis are okay also.
Yes.
You know?
Everybody's special.
Everybody's special, yeah. So they're unique in their own way. But unless you're accepting that, you will have to accept something mundane. And you will think it's unique, special, on its own and outstanding in the center of everything. It's just the way it is. You accept Daiva Varnashram in dealing with these things, or not. Or even you just say you're the soul and all that. That's nice. But he's also mentioning here, but this just saying it's just a pure identity is mere abstraction. So they say pure identity is just an abstraction. They just, what is pure identity? You say it's pure identity, but what is it? Because it's something that has no form, no qualities. Knowledge doesn't... They deal with knowledge, but when it comes to the absolute, there is no knowledge. So they can't distinguish between what's matter and what's spirit. But they're committed to spirit, so that's a good thing. They're trying to live a lifestyle of someone committed to spirit. You know, and they're talking about spirit, but they actually don't know what is spirit. So all the points the Shastra says you can't know with knowledge, that means what's transcendental. But it can bring you near. And then by proper association, then pleasing the Lord, then we can understand. So they're also materialists. You know, even they do get liberated, which Mayavadis won't. Right? Then they're going to still remain within the Mahatattva, because Mahatattva means there's desire. Right? That's the mean. Sutra means there's desire. Right, so hence there be no knowledge of undifferentiated attributeless thing, and in the absence of such knowledge, nothing can remove avidya. So in other words, without knowledge of what actually is Brahman, you can't remove avidya. So their concept of Brahman, then, which it has no connection with vidya. And so then the problem comes is that it's, you can't know what it is, and therefore if you can't know what it is, how do you remove avidya? And as we saw before, avidya is not, you know, if you're saying that that's a substance, but then how can it be a substance? Unless it's, you know, in other words, they're defeating their concepts of these things. We know avidya is a shakti of the Lord. That's why it has substance. They don't know this. They try to see everything in an abstract way, not connected.
Why they don't accept this as shakti?
Because then if they're Shakti, there must be Shaktiman. Yes, but that means then they also then are not Brahman. See, the hope means the envy and attachment. It means I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. In other words, I'm God. So they're attached to the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why you see is even though they say Ishwara is a material concept, they're very happy to identify themselves with Ishwara. Right? Because it's the only thing you can, because Brahman, how do you identify with? Because there's nothing there. But they don't want to identify as a jiva because then they're just, you know, condition and control. They want to be in control. So they want to be in control, they want to be God, and they think that they'll be happy that way. You know, so it just comes down to that. So they're like every other conditioned living entity. Just that they've come up with a different way. That's the Krishna, through the modes of nature, then gives so many ways that one can try to pursue I'm the controller and enjoyer. Because otherwise you get bored. Now, could you imagine a universe full of bored living entities? That would be a problem. You know, so you keep everybody busy. You know, because they're by nature, they're active. Hare Krishna.
Maya is very amazing.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's what he's saying is in, what do you call it? Okay. For the authority of the scriptures declares Maya to be a really wonderful power of creating this wonderful world which really belongs to God. Because then that just means then they're here. Then they're minor and he's great. So then what's my position? Then as the energies are serving, I'm an energy, I also serve. Yes. They don't want to accept that I'm a servant. Yes. They want to be the master. So that's the... You know, it's just the disease of the living entity. You always see if someone can get into a position of authority, that's what's important for them. Not necessarily doing the work. You do work to move up in the company, but if you could have the position and not do work, that would be perfection.
Yes.
So it's rare that someone moves up and they can't keep doing the work.
Yes.
You know, these guys are, you know, written about and, you know, stories and songs are sung about them and, you know, stuff like that. Because it's just rare, it's considered spiritual or something, you know. When it's just, they're just dutiful, it's just the mode of goodness. In other words, what in the West you consider someone's a saint and spiritual, in the Vedic, that's just considered you're human, you're doing your duties. That's where we start from. You know. So what they're amazed by is their basic human quality. Like that. So that's the difference in the culture, is that Shudras are human. Then it goes up from there. From there, it's at the top, you know, it's like, ooh. G. Niv Vrit Yanu Papati. In the last point, we were told that there is no remover of avidya. This point tells us that there is no removal of avidya. Avidya is said to be positive, bhava-rupa, by the mayavadi. How, then, can a positive thing be removed? A thing which positively exists cannot possibly be removed from existence by knowledge. Right? So, if avidya doesn't exist, I mean, if it it's a positive thing, you know, because it's creating everything in that, then the point is it can't be removed. So how would knowledge remove it? Because their whole philosophy is based on, I will remove the ignorance, yes, then I will become God.
Yes.
But the point is, how do you remove something positive? Right? It's there, it exists. You can't destroy it. Like that. Does that make sense? It's something that's negative can be removed.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like that. The bondage of the soul is due to karma, which is a concrete reality and cannot be removed by abstract knowledge. It can be removed by karma, jnana, bhakti, and prasad. The ignorance of the soul is destroyed when the karmas are destroyed and when the soul flings itself on the absolute mercy of the Lord who, pleased by the soul's constant devotion, extends his grace to him. Right? So there he's summarized it. Yes, that's prasad. And notice the order, right? Karma, that's the lower, then jnana, that's higher, then bhakti was actually, so then prasad, that's the top. Yes. It also means the Lord's mercy. Prasad here will mean Lord's mercy. So, but it doesn't mean that prasad's not also there.
This is that mercy of Lord which is always available.
Yes, yes. If difference consisting of universe and jivas arises by ignorance of the jiva, if difference consisting of universe and jivas arises by ignorance of the jiva, then the sutras would not find fault in attributing creation of the universe to the jiva. But the sutras say, itara vyapadeshad dita karanari dosha prasad prasaktihi. The proposition that the jiva creates the universe has the fault that the jiva creates something unbeneficial for himself. Brahma Sutra 2.1.21. Why would he do that? You know, we can say, well, that's because of ignorance, but where would that power come? Where would this substance come from? It's all illusion, but then there's so much substance. That's the whole thing. And then they'll just say, oh, anirvachaniya, it's undescribable. Just because you're being an idiot, so then you call it anirvachaniya? You know. Yeah. And the sutra showing difference would be meaningless. Adikam tu beda nirdeshat. Brahman has greater powers than the jiva, since the difference is stated in the scriptures. Thus, Brahman cannot be influenced by the world, though he creates it. Brahma Sutra 2.1.22. Right, so here, that we're saying the jiva creates the material world, then becomes covered by it. But that's bogus. But we see here is that the Lord, he creates, he has great power. So it says right here. So they're studying these things, but then they'll interpret these things and somehow or another try to avoid the reality here. That's what we're saying, is they have some fundamental points that they just avoid. And then with that, they think they're being very logical. So that becomes the difficulty. Yeah. The following establishes that the jiva is not the creator. Samgya murti kliptis tu tri vriti purvavat anu upan deshat. The Lord mixes the names and forms after making the elements threefold, because that is the direct statement. Brahma Sutra 2.4.20. Jagat vachitvat. The passage does not refer to the jiva because the word karma means creation of the universe. Brahma Sutra 1.4.16. Esa sarveshvaras, esa setu, Vidharana esham lokanam asambhedaya. He is the Lord of all, a dike, so that the people will not be confused. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.22. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride sher junatishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantara rudhani mayaya. O Arjuna, the Lord is situated in the hearts of all living entities. He engages all living entities. We're mounted on a machine made of Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. It is improper to say that the Lord, who is famous as the stimulator of Jiva's ignorance, is created out of Jiva's ignorance. Moreover, if scriptures were created by Jiva's ignorance, they would be like chatter in a dream and could never produce real knowledge. It would be better to have faith in one's argumentation than to have faith in chatter taking place in a dream. Right, so then here is that if they create everything, then that means also the Shastra, also all these things, the Supreme Lord. So again, you see, even though in their fallen position, they still don't want to be look bad. So even as a fallen Jiva, they're still the creator of everything. So that means they're the controller and enjoyer. But because they're not enjoying, then the Supreme enjoyment is now becoming, you know, directly the Supreme. You know, just another form. So you see, the whole thing, that the motive behind it all is simply to be the controller and enjoyer. You know, but they have the taste in speculation. Tarka pratishta nad apyantanu meyam iti chain eva ap anir moksha. If you think otherwise, then we say that logic is not solid proof. It would lead to the impossibility of liberation. Brahma Sutra 2.1.11. What more need be said? Thus, there is no possibility of the world being an illusion. Transformation, parinama, is the remaining alternative. What is described as, quote, the principal entity changing into something else, end quote, this is explained in sutras such as the following. Upasamhara darshana neti chen na shiradvati. If you argue that the jiva can create a universe because we see him perform actions, the answer is no, since the jiva is dependent in his actions just as a cow is dependent in producing milk. Brahma Sutra 2.1.24. Right, because they see, oh, we do things and all that. So you're going to say, then you're creating the whole universe? But how do you do that? It means even what's here, we're not doing all this ourselves. Someone else has done. So then creating the universe, then it means everybody's working together. How is this working? No, but then it's no, the jiva creates. It means meaning themselves. Mm-hmm. So just depending upon how big is their false ego, then they go for these things. Devadid vad iti loke. In this world, results of devata's actions are seen, though they themselves are invisible. Brahma Sutra 2.1.25. Then it is said, Kritsna prasaktir niravayava shabda vyakopo va. The jiva, or the Lord, would have to absorb himself completely in the action. Otherwise, it would violate statements that the jiva or the Lord has no parts. Brahma Sutra 2.1.26. Thus, it is established that Brahman or the Lord does not the universe by transformation like a pillar tree.
Doesn't make. Create.
Does not create. So the point is that the Brahman doesn't transform. That's the point. Like a pillar turning into something else. Shrutestu shabda mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable subjects. Brahma Sutra 2.1.27. So when they say anirvachaniya, yes, it's inconceivable, but still, Shastra gives definition. Because they're taking their anyavachaniya means, oh, it can't be described, so even Shastra can't describe it. So because the point is Shastra is saying this, but you say, oh no, it's beyond that. No, Shastra says what's there. So what's inconceivable, that's defined by Shastra. So their anyavachaniya means how their philosophy will work, or how it, you know, has any basis of that, that's inconceivable. Like that. But they themselves, but the point is Shastra can define it. We can, but Shastra can. That's why we have to follow Shastra.
Much depend on the intent.
Yes.
If the intent is wanted to be God, automatically this type of thing will happen.
Yes, yes. It means if you have material intent, you'll get material results. So they will come up with this. And because they identify with the material, that's why you see is that they're so committed to it.
Yes, yes.
You know, they're so focused on it.
Yes.
You know, so that's there.
Maharaj, is it also that the materialistic karma is based on this mental on same mental processes? Like?
Yeah, no. Everything uses the processes, but for some, the process is the important thing.
Yes.
And for others, the result of those processes will be important. So in other words, everybody's using the mental, it's called reasoning. But if all you have is reasoning, that's called mental speculation, because you're not ending up with a result. Right? See, because you have impressions. That's the only reason you do something, is the impressions, because of the heart.
Yeah.
We're a living entity. So then those impressions that we have, we may be aware of them or not, but in any case, we're going to apply the reasoning process based on our impressions. So based on our impressions, the information coming in from the senses will filter it to those ones that match our impressions. And then, depending upon whether the impression is good or bad, I'm going to analyze it, that whatever's coming in from the senses, that sensual information, either in a good way or a bad way. Right? And then of the various options of how you can analyze, and according to my identity, which means how I'm going to apply it, that's what I'll choose. Right? Because I can't function out of my identity. I have an identity. Within that identity, I can work. Right? Now, how to do something, there's so many ways to do it. That's what the intelligence works out. But and of things that you can do in the universe, there's unlimited. There's unlimited facts, and there's unlimited things that can be done with unlimited results. So which ones do you choose? The ones you value. Right? So what is the values coming from? That's from your samskaras, the impression. So depending upon my samskaras, I take in taking in information, I therefore, according to my values, choose those that aspects and then analyze it, you know, through reasoning, and then the conclusions, I will choose the one that I can work with. Because there may be 10 things you can do. You know? But you'll choose the one that matches your identity. Right? So that's the whole point, is you have impressions, but you have impressions. So that means that quality of ego with the impressions, then that's what you're going to do. The mind is choosing, accepting or rejecting based on that. And the intelligence simply analyzes, you know, information coming in and what you can do with it. Does that make sense? So like that, that's what's going on. So, in any case, whether it's, you know, you have, because, and the kind of the combinations of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So, is it going to be more about the mind? Is it going to be more about the senses? Is it going to be more about your identity? Like some people will choose something because it maintains their identity, even though it's very obvious that the choice is not going to work. But no, You know, I said this, we're going to do this. But everybody points out it won't work. No, but I said. You know, and whatever I say is, you know, satya sankalpa, so therefore we're going to do it. Everybody can tell you it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So even if it's destructive, they'll keep to it.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. You know, like the captain and the ship. Captain goes down with the ship. Why? The ship's sinking. You can get in the boat. No, but he, I am the ship. Yes. You know, I have this and that. No.
Most of the people, they are after the fruits.
Yes, most are karmis.
There are only few who like to come up just with these theories. And
yes.
But why this majority of the people are maintaining this few?
Because they need some, you know, some direction and some way to make their karma look more,
okay,
more interesting or more favorable, or so, you know, it's just like I am situated in my own identity and my own values and all that, and so that's a material flaw, you know, in that I'm self-centered. But now, if I can, if I extend that that identity, then it's, you know, it's a slightly higher level of consciousness. It seems it has the element that it's better, but at the same time, it's only better if that makes everything work together. But if it's the same flaw, if it's, you know, how you say old wine, new bottle, then it's no better. And you see in the you know, contemporary politics that they do that, they'll just take whatever position works. You know, as we discussed, I think it was on Friday. And nowadays, it's the economic position. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you have, what is it, other than arms, because that we don't want to discuss, right? But other than arms, if you just talk regular business, then the pharmaceuticals are the biggest in the world. And so then that means what they do, then they give, they'll be paying in volume the most tax, not necessarily by proportion, but at least by volume, right? So as long as they're giving more than everybody else, even though they might only be giving a small percent, still governments will be happy. And so therefore then everything has to go on them doing their work. Right? Does that make sense? And so therefore it's going to go on. They have to do this, they have to do that, and everything like this, and you know. Because it's just like, I think it was even just a few years ago in France, they banned, I think you can't practice anything other than allopath medicine. They don't even allow it. America, you can practice it, but you won't get any insurance or anything won't cover it. You have to pay yourself. But France took it a step further because of their great, you know, liberalness and everything, that it's completely banned.
So many people go to Belgium. Just
so Belgium's, the economy is going up, I guess. But it will look like it's this and that, but it'll just be pharmaceuticals, that's all. They're just pushing that they get, because that's the whole point, is for it, on the material platform, because only if you're performing your duties, then there's regulation. You make as much money as you can without disturbing anybody else. Mm-hmm. But if you remove that aspect, then I can make as much money as I can. No, doesn't matter what happens to everything. The world gets destroyed. It doesn't matter as long as I made profit. You know, like, countries fight with each other, or one country civil wars fight, as long as somebody's making money off of it. Otherwise, what does it take to go into a place and get rid of these guys?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
18 days is enough.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't happen because economically it's beneficial. So it's just let run. So that's the whole point, is that everyone has their motive to gain, you know, in karma and jnana. So karma will be the main thing, But Gyan then gives a little bit of life to it, that it sounds like it's more philosophical than it actually is.
So they need this kind of branding or...
Yeah, these kind of things, intellectual, something to think about, makes you feel better that you're doing something like that. You know, it's like, you know, it's just like if group A is harassing group B, so now if that kind of harassment's bad, it's just bad. But then with the political winds adjusting, now group B comes up. Now group B can harass group A, and that's all right. Now we're being liberal. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. So that's the whole point, is that they're not... All you're doing is, like we said, same wine, new bottle. All it is the same exploitation. You just... Okay, now everyone says, now this is exploitation. Move it to something new. And now it's not exploitation, it's the latest thing and everything. You know, it's wonderful. You know, it's just like this. You have a boy and a girl, or a man and a woman, and in public they're getting a little too intimate. You know, people say, get a room. You know, we don't want to watch this. Right? But you put it into the modern political, but if they're not a boy and a girl, they're two boys or two girls, now if you say anything, oh, so you're against this, it becomes a whole political thing. But it's either wrong or it's not. So why is it one's wrong and the other one's all right? You know, either public intimacy is wrong or it's not. You know what I'm saying? So that's the inconsistency there. That's what we're saying, is you bring up these philosophies. Now something that before is wrong, now it suddenly becomes right again. So now you can go on with your gross materialism, but now you have a fresh view on it that now it's all right. So in other words, with time, people obviously see that there's problems in the material world. But now you come up with a new philosophy by somebody who has nothing better to do, you know. And so then they, then now people are inspired again in their...
Yes.
Hope. That's it. It's all hope. It's about hope.
The mechanism is very well thought of.
Yeah, because, I mean, as it mentioned before here, what was it called? Maya, a really wonderful power of creating this material world, which really belongs to God, right? So that's the thing, is she just makes... Because you're looking for... Everyone's looking for, as Prabhupada points out, they want Ram Rajya without Ram. So we want the spiritual world without Krishna. So it's always the same thing. So it's just a matter of a new way of tricking you into thinking that it's special. So that's, if you can do it economically, you can do it through politics, you can do it through some intellectual platitude or some political platitude like this, or it's something about the people or something about the greater good. You know, it's like this. You say it's about the people, but when you point out that actually people don't get benefit, no, it's for the greater good. But then if people aren't getting benefit, how is it for the greater good? You know, so they just keep moving around the statements of what it's for, you know, until you ultimately get to, what is it? All animals are created equal, just some are more equal than others. You had something, sir? No.
It's ridiculous. Even the term anirvachaniya, because achintya, it is there in the shastra.
But yeah.
Anirvachaniya, it's created by them.
Yes.
And what they do is they try actually to match the logic, the common personal logic,
right,
and the logic from the scriptures, and
right,
they try to put it on the equal level.
Yes.
And then from that point, then by jaggery, then they move on. Because psychologically, you know, animals, they're just like that. They're straightforward.
Yes.
They see something, they enjoy it. If
right,
they can. If not, they run
if
away.
If they get to it first.
Yeah. But then human psychologically, you have to actually justify your action. So this is where all this lofty philosophy comes in.
Yeah, very.
Otherwise, you know, what's the point? Just and another point I was thinking when you were describing that the control is the main thing.
Yes.
But actually, if you look at it, you don't have to control in order to enjoy. If you understand spirit and metta. But if you understand only metta, you have to own it in order to enjoy. Because otherwise, in the spiritual world, you don't have to be number one. You don't have to be anybody.
Yeah, you're just part of.
To taste the rasa.
Right.
But then here,
that's a very nice approach. Yeah.
Here, you don't own it. You can. Yeah, it's kind of, but
yeah.
it's not exactly. The feeling isn't there. It's not complete.
Yeah. Then there's the justice aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, because that's a big thing here, is justice. Yeah, you're trying to establish that it's right.
Yeah.
You're trying to, that's interesting. You're trying to, so in other words, if they just accepted the Shastra and followed their duties, it's taken care of, but because that's not being accepted, therefore then you have to come up with so many other ways to justify. So does that make sense? So that's back to what you say, it justifies.
Good point.
Yeah, very good point. It justifies a new way of trying to enjoy. Because people are enjoying in one way, they have a justification, but somebody's saying, no, that's bogus. And so you have to justify the new. But you have to give authority to it, because the human life means you have to work by authority. But, you know, they don't accept the absolute, so then they're their own authority.
Always coming to the origin of, I'm the controller.
Yes, but it's like that. The controller's the higher. Because I was seeing one thing where it was, they were mentioning about the people that are super, super rich. And so the point was being made is that it's not about having money. That's for the lower people. It's about the control. So having that much money, its benefit is the control. At a lower level, people think that much money I can enjoy. I'll get my car, I'll get this, I'll do this and that, I'll splash the money around, I'll be the big guy, I'll enjoy the money. But the ones that are really big, it's not about enjoying the money. You look at them. A lot of times you get these guys up in the billionaires that are situated there. They're dressed like you would. If you saw them on the street and didn't know their face, you would never think they're a rich guy. They're just dressed so ordinary and this and that. Because for them, it's about the control they have with their money. So it's actually control is higher. Because until if you control, then of course you can enjoy it. So that's the interesting thing. So they have a taste for control. So that's why they do what they do, because they have enough money. They can enjoy themselves. No, but they have to have control. So they control this, they want to control more. So just like the guy wants unlimited money, they want unlimited control. And so if that takes more money, then yes, so then they get more money. But the money is fueling, serving control. Well, for the others, the money is serving enjoyment. So that's why they're also a little dry. They don't necessarily dress so well and everything. Yeah, it's far out how the modes. Everybody's got their pot and they work. And that's really nice, that thing about justification. Because, in other words, you either follow Shastra or you make up your own religion. Either follow religion that Krishna gave, or you'll make your own. Because religion means what's the inherent nature. So they say, no, society, this is the inherent nature. Like that. The individual, this is their nature, this and that. So they create their own religion. So it's still religion, but it doesn't have any God connected with it. But like Prabhu mentioned, the animal is also God's not connected. So they're hence, when you take that too far, then you end up with you know, pigs in suits. You know. So, yeah. The meaning of Sutra 2.126 is this. Nishkalam, Nishkiryam, Shantam. The Lord is without parts, without action, and peaceful. Sweta Sattara Upanishad 6.19. Since the Lord is famous as being without limbs, transformation into everything of this world by even one of his portions means uprooting the very definition of the Lord. Teaching that this Lord should be seen, teaching that this Lord should be seen become meaningless. It would also be a contradiction to the unborn nature of the Lord. The word without limbs mentioned in Scripture would also be a contradiction of saying the Lord's limbs transforms. By transforming, Brahman would not be eternal also. The meaning of the second sutra, Shutes tu shabda mulatvat, is this. The word tu refutes the opponent's proposal that Jiva is the creator. That there is no fault in our position. We make our conclusions from Shruti. What is stated by the words of Shruti is present as the direct teaching. It is not proved by logic. Since it is self-proved by being without human authorship and deals with spiritual matters. Right? So that's the whole point. You can say, well, it's not logical. It doesn't have to be. Shastra says it. That's what it is. Because the point is when we say logical, we mean according to my way of thinking.
Yes.
Right? Because I have my impressions, my values. I'm going to analyze based on that and come to a conclusion based on my identity. So that's what logic means, literally. So that's the whole point, is it doesn't have to be proved by logic, because logic is subjective. We take it logic is objective. No, logic is subjective. It may have more an objective element in that I can bring in more elements to analyze, but the beginning and the end are going to be the same. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is you have to understand what it is. Like that, yeah. The followers of the Puranas say, Achintya kalao ye bhava natams tarkena yojayet. Prakriti bhya param yascha tad achintasya lakshanam. One cannot use material reasoning on those things which are inconceivable. Inconceivable refers to those things existing beyond Prakriti. Mahabharata 6.6.11. So it's beyond Prakriti. So as Prabhu said, they're taking those statements that are beyond Prakriti, and then their own logic, you know, that through their essential mental speculation, and trying to put them on an equal level. And then they're saying, because that can't be understood, they'll say then it's anirvachaniya. It's inconceivable. You can't understand it. But the point is no, what's beyond is what's inconceivable. And what you're dealing with, that's very conceivable. You know, so it's two different things. So they're trying to equate two things that are different as equal. That. And that's the basis of the philosophy. Two things are different. Brahman, unlimited, them, limited, and we're the same. Yes?
Yes, some days ago we also discussed that the causal ocean is the border between there and here.
Yes.
So here, it's very logical, it's cause and effect.
Yes.
But there, it's without cause.
Yes.
So that's why it's inconceivable. But we can actually describe it by Shastra.
Yes.
It's not undescribable, but it is inconceivable, because there's no cause and effect.
That's interesting. Inconceivable, but still describable.
Yeah. Because Shastra describes.
Because anirvachaniya means they say it's not describable. But it is describable. Yeah. It's just inconceivable.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, Shastra says, so we can describe. But it may be inconceivable, but how we would come to that understanding and all that. That's why we base on Shastra. Shabda is the main thing. That's why then, you know, everything goes back to Shastra. Guru and Sadhu are because they quote Shastra.
Prabhupada also was mentioning that because we cannot fully conceive of it, therefore it's inconceivable for us.
Yes.
We can only to some extent.
Yes, but when by Krishna's mercy, then he reveals it, then you can conceive of it.
Yeah.
But you can't use logic to conceive of it, because the logic is subjective. Yeah. Okay. So it's used. It's a major tool that we use at every moment in our life. But you have to know its limitations. So when you're using it in connection with the Lord, then Krishna is pleased. You know, so that's the point, is your limited capacity. It's just like the child. They have a limited capacity. But they make an endeavor, and it's wonderful. You know, it's just like, let us say, we take the three-year-old, okay? We sit the three-year-old down with a piece of paper and crayons. Okay, and we sit the adult down with the piece of paper and the crayons. And when they finish, which one's going to be on the refrigerator?
Yes.
Yeah. The other one's going to be, you know, that was a waste of paper. You know. Yeah. Because in other words, the drawing ability of both of them is the same. But because of, you know, the mood and the endeavor, so that's the whole point, is that the living entity makes that endeavor to try to do something to please him who is, you know, the source of everything. You know, so it's that's the point. It's like you're offering Ganga water into the Ganga, but because you've made that endeavor with the proper intent, the proper attitude, therefore that the Lord's pleased, and so it works. So then you can realize. So it is in that way, by the Lord's mercy, it's conceivable. But from this side, it's inconceivable. But Shastra is there, so it can be described. But they'll say it's undescribable, because what they're saying is undescribable, because it makes no sense, even on the material platform. That's why Ramanujacharya, then showing just by logic, it doesn't work. You know, it's like the child and the point. The emperor has no clothes. You know, so that's it. It's just so obvious. But people, due to attachments, this and that, don't say or don't.
So they are actually right when they say it's anirvachaniya, because what they are saying is
It's indescribable, because it's like, you know, how do you describe something that doesn't exist? You know, because in their mind nothing exists. So yes, it's indescribable. But transcendence is describable by Shastra. It's just inconceivable. So they think it's conceivable, just indescribable. We'll say it's describable, but inconceivable. So it's opposite. So why? Because we're dealing with Vidya Shakti, they're dealing with Avidya Shakti. And the point of Avidya, it makes everything opposite.
Also, if we approach purely from a logical point of view, if not God is creator, but the jiva is creator, then still we get basically the same kind of a result, because whoever it is not us. So we're not happy here.
Right, right.
So, of course, we understand that there's original cause, and then the efficient cause, and then the material cause, and then
right.
the instrumental cause, which is actually jiva, according right. to Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, yes.
And Vedanta Sutra.
Yes.
But then, even if we take that the jiva is the only cause, you know, which jiva is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Who created the whole thing? And why, even if it's us, why aren't we happy here?
Yeah, because if we've created it, why aren't we happy? Because you create things to be happy. You cook dinner to be happy. You don't cook dinner to be unhappy. You know? No, I mean, at least, isn't it? I just want to make sure I'm not the weird one.
Mostly. Like,
it's a concept.
It's a concept. Means no, but it's a concept. You cook it to become happy. Whether you become happy or not, that's another thing. Yeah. You know, it's in your mind. You have this whole far out thing, and in reality, okay.
Ball of rice.
Yes.
Cooking videos.
Hmm?
That's the result of the cooking videos.
Cooking videos. Yeah, because what they don't show you is that it's so edited, you know, like that. It's that what you see there in 5 minutes actually took them 5 hours, right? And they cooked it three times. And all that. I saw this one. Have you ever seen You Suck at Cooking? You ever seen that? That the guy actually does. But he's what he's doing is representing our level of ability. Okay. And so the way the things come out looking, it's not good. But his point is it's edible and it tastes all right. So don't worry about it.
Is it popular?
Huh? I'm not sure. I didn't know. But I just came across one of that. It's just they're making a calzone. You know how they take it. You put the thing. You fold them. How nicely they look. Some of him look like he does that, and then the things come out. So he pushes this over here, and then does that. Puts some more dough on it, and like that. And, you know, like that. But at the end, it tastes all right. You know. Yeah.
That's my Indian rice. Indian rice, so you need not arrange anything. Just put everything in there.
And boil it, yeah. Generally, you can generally get that to come out all right. Anything else that might be... Yeah, that's why you see is that, what's it... Charvak was very straightforward. Get ghee, right? You know, because if you have just rice, if you put ghee on it, it's fabulous. Whatever else, you know, it's not good. I think there's a Kerala saying, if you put enough ghee, you can eat blankets. So even if it's bad, you know, Govinda Maharaj used to say, if you don't have bhakti, put more butter. So you just put enough butter on it, it will be good.
In Russia, it's cream.
And cream, yeah, that's it. Yeah, you always have this big pot of cream.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Then if you have a little salt, you're good. Yeah. I'm not sure how we got there, but there was some logical progression. There was some logical progression. Yeah. Does that mean you say, so you see is that there's some essential points here. On the material platform, you have to justify why. Because why would you have to justify? Right? I'm going to do something, it has to be justified. The animal, like Prabhu said, is just the animal wants it, they just go for it. And as long as they get there first, then they have it. And if they have it, then they want to keep... Like you see, the birds come down and grab something. They don't sit there and eat it. They immediately fly off. And many times when they're flying, another few birds are chasing them. Because getting it's the first step. Keeping it's the second step. You know, actually being able to ingest it, that's the third step. You know? So I think that maybe that's where, like, pelicans are already ahead. For them, it's the acquisition and keeping and it's all in one flow. It's just, you know, their mouth is so big, you know, like, yeah. So get so distracted by it. Now I'm seeing these big sharks coming out. Have you ever seen the ones where you have this little fish going along, this bigger fish goes, and the bigger one here, and then another bigger one like that. Yeah. I really don't know where we were.
To justify.
Yes, justify. So, because the soul by nature is what. Remember when it said that the three shaktis, when they have their influence on the tathasta shakti or the jiva shakti, then. That means Sandini is their consciousness and ability to observe things around them, right? Then Samvit is then knowledge that they can gain through that process, right? And then Haladini will be the pleasures and pain they get from something, right? Because it's always mentioned, see, it's from the transcendental you get bliss. In the material world, you don't get bliss, you get happiness, which means distress. It's never said bliss. It means you use the word bliss, this and that, but bliss means it continues. Happiness, you know, if you say, you know, are you happy? Yeah, you're happy. You know it's going to go away. the guy says, "Oh, I'm in bliss," then it indicates that it's lasting.
There's actually no opposite word to bliss, is it? Is there?
Bliss.
Depression.
Hmm?
Depression.
Depression.
Okay.
Because it's lasting.
Because it's also lasting. Okay. Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So. Okay. That. So the whole point is there. You see, as you function, the middle feature is knowledge. Right. So there's the existence of things, and there's the happiness you can get, but that's dealt with. That transformation there's through knowledge. So there must be a justification that there is knowledge and an application that makes it that, yes, you will get this and you will get this result. Because we're saying we want this result, therefore this is justified. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just inherently how the soul works. He must justify. But the problem comes up is that unless it's based on Shastra, his justification then is going to be on the material platform, and it's not going to be to his benefit. Right? I mean, it may have some immediate benefit, or it may be in something, an activity that's authorized, but because it's not seen in the context of Krishna consciousness, it won't ultimately give him any benefit. And most likely, for most, as we see, is that it's not from the beginning to end, it's all inauspicious.
The opposite word is misery.
Misery.
Yes.
Bliss and misery.
Yeah. Which is Anand, Niranand.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's correct.
Bliss and misery. Yeah.
The last shloka.
Yeah, Achintya? Oh, okay.
The last
shloka. Oh, yeah. Paranchi kani vyatrinat svayambhus tasmat paran pasyati nantaratman. The Lord made the senses turn outwards, and thus no one can see him with those senses. Katu Upanishad 2.1.1. Oh, that's so far out. The senses go outwards, they don't go inwards. That's why the mind is called the inner. Yeah, because with the senses they go out, they can't go in. So you can't perceive the Lord. That's far out.
I think Bahir Muk.
Yeah.
Looking outside.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Na chakshur, na shrotram, na tarko, na smritir, na vedo, hye vainam vedayat. The ear, no. The eye, ear, logic, smrit, and veda do not reveal the Lord. Bala veya shruti, madhva bhasya. Aupanishadam purusham. The Lord is known through the shruti. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.9.26. This is dealt with elaborately in Tattva and Bhagavad Sandarbha. So if he's saying the Veda does not reveal, that means the Karmakanda sections and things like that. The Upanishads, they're revealing. Right? Because if they're dealing with karma, you only see what is seen with the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But if you're dealing with that which deals with the soul and the Lord, then that can reveal. Does that make sense? Or you can also say is that the Shruti is not revealing. They're saying what it is. But having faith in that and acting according to that, the Lord reveals. Right? Otherwise, then just by reading Shastra, that would be enough. No, you have to have that connection with Guru, then it works.
Like we have seen how the Vidya Shakti in the material world, it only points out to the spiritual Vidya.
It only points it out. It doesn't explain it.
It's a door for entry. Mm.
Yeah, so it can only explain that there is this other. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called there.
Yeah.
And it's called here, there. So then you know that there is there. Then you approach that, you know, scriptures that show that, and the parampara that shows that. Then you can know there. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.